Welcome to the Reformation Podcast of Grace Mosaic. This is Joel, Pastor of Worship and Formation here at the church. And for our podcast episode today, I have the privilege of replaying a recording of Haley's workshop, Sabbath Part 2, that she did at the church a few weeks ago on a Sunday evening. And if you weren't there, it was a great opportunity to dig deeper into the Sabbath and be provoked by some really beautiful teaching and questions. So we just have a recording of that for those who didn't make it that night but want to listen in on what happened. Also, I want to flag for you that coming up next Sunday on November 17th, we have our Sabbath Vespers, followed by a community conversation, and then a communal Sabbath meal. So that's going to be a really unique event, trying to just more fully embody the worship and delight and rest of the Sabbath together on an evening prayer service, which is what Vespers means, and then finally ending with a time of conversation and fellowship together. So encourage you to come to that. So without further ado, here's Miss Haley Williams, our ministry coordinator and formation resident, as she presents on the Sabbath.
Father, thank you for the gift of each other. Thank you that when you called us, you didn't call us alone, but you called us into your body. And I love all the souls here, the embodied beings which you have made. Thank you for the work you've been doing in them long before they came to Mosaic. But thank you, God, for bringing us together. And I ask that this time to meditate on you, on your character, on your delight, on your joy, God. I pray that it would be for the building up of your people, for the nourishing of their hearts, that they might go out into their weeks singing your praises. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. So just a quick recap of what we covered last time, because a lot of us are new. When we look at the Hebrew word Shabbat in the Genesis story, we see has four separate meanings. So the literal word Shabbat means to cease or to stop, but in creation we see that it also has connotations of God's rest, God's delight in his creation, and then also worship. And these are the four principles that are framing our practice of the Sabbath as we like break it down into a teachable workshop. And so that's what we covered last time. With respect to stop, we looked at what activities do we need to cease from in order to make the Sabbath a holy day, a day set apart from all the others, taking a break from work, chores, etc. And then in order to experience God's rest. And in that, we analyzed what are the feelings that come up that prevent us from feeling God's rest, because there's not just external resistance to the Sabbath by way of our schedules or demands other people make on us, but there's also the internal noise that arises when you stop from your normal activity and your normal schedules. The end of spiritual practice is love. We're not doing this so we can be people who just say we practice a Sabbath every 7 days and it's super cute of us. No, the purpose of us adopting this practice is that it's built into the fabric of creation. We see that God invites us to experience his rest through the practice of Sabbath, and in doing so makes us people who have greater margin, joy, and peace in him that we can share and offer to others in the world. We also looked at the Sabbath as a day of remembrance. Not just remembrance, but resistance, as we remember what God has done for us in freeing us from the forces that want us to be decentered in him. We remember the goodness of who we are in Christ, of who God is and what he has done for us in Christ. And this remembrance gives way to a life of joy and gratitude. Lastly, the movements of stopping and resting enable us to enter into the joy and holiness that is God. So this theme will come up, that we can't just, boom, delight. Often when we're in the midst of our regular everyday hurry, we're not singing the praises of God. We're doing whatever's next on our to-do list or on our task list for the day. But on the Sabbath, we take the time to stop from that regular activity and turn our attention, reorient ourselves to what God has done for us. So a little recap of where we were to start today. So I'm going to give a little bit of context, but mostly I want this to prepare us for small group discussion, which will happen later. So if you ever feel like content dump, just be like, please, please stop. I already got the sermon. So, but yeah, just a little bit of a framework for our conversation later. So Sabbath and your everyday. Oh, the everyday. we talked about earlier in church today, Pastor Russ said that the world was always meant to be enchanted, and yet it is disenchanted now. I don't have to tell you that every day your news cycle, your phone, your notifications are bombarding you with heartache, tragedy, grief in places far off. Your own heart tells you of grief near and sadness near. Tim Keller says that we need the Sabbath because the world is full of ugly things. We need this day to fill our souls with beauty. Sorrow is something that is inevitable in life, but joy is not. So as we think about the practice of delight, it's also a discipline for us. We know that tragedy will come. We know that tomorrow will bring a list of things that we do not want to partake in. And it is easy to become people who I call are filled with the mumbly grumblies. And if you think back to Exodus when the people are grumbling, that can be default. Joy does not often come naturally. But Jesus, when he asks us to abide in him in John 15, says, I ask these things of you, that your joy may be full and complete, that it may overflow. So as believers, if we are thinking about our lives and we don't feel this joy, this praise in Jesus, we aren't to take that as a shame. Oh my gosh, I'm not feeling the joy of God. But to actually, like, that's an invitation to wonder, why is that not happening? To lay your life before your eyes and consider, what is taking me away from the joy of Jesus? So, what is joy? Quick little biblical theology of joy. I don't know if you were in a church community that said, joy and happiness are different. Joy is like forever. Happiness is fleeting. Okay, well, they're kind of the same thing. There is an element of joy, being that sense when things are all right, all is well, and you can trust and don't even have to think about it. I don't have to explain that feeling to you. But it is also a condition, a character trait, a result of a life of following Jesus as he points us to the greater life that we are headed towards together. There's this element of like having to work ourselves into joy as we move into the last movement, which is that joy is a discipline. There are some times in life when joy is natural, like your wedding day or a birthday or, I don't know, your team won. I don't really root for teams, but I would like to, maybe one day. Those are things when joy comes naturally to us, and there are other times when joy is a sheer act of obedience to God, because you know it's the appropriate response, but maybe you don't feel like that, and you have to work yourself into that. I have a quote here from Richard Foster. It says, "The decision to set the mind on the higher things of life is an act of the will. That is why celebration is a discipline. It is not something that falls on our heads. It is the result of a consciously chosen way of thinking and living." So let's look to Sabbath in Genesis. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. This word here, good, is the Hebrew word tov, and it also has this image of beauty, beautiful. "And there was evening and morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested," Shabbat, "from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So we see even God in the fabric of creation demonstrating for us as we image him that there is this element of taking a step back from our work and enjoying, opening ourselves up to receive from him, right? It's not our activity that leads us into the Sabbath rest. It's God's activity that enables us to take a step back and enjoy. And on it, he also blessed the day and made it holy, setting it apart from every other day of the week. Yes, we know that God is Lord on Monday is the same as he is on Wednesday and Friday. But on Sunday, or whatever day you practice your Sabbath, because we're a little untraditional, you know, these days, there's room for flexibility there. But on that particular Sabbath day, there is a unique way in that you are living out the beauty of God. So I keep talking about delight. Delight in what? Delight in God's world. In the midst of our busy weeks or our even a not busy week, we don't often take the time to stop and appreciate creation, stars in the sky at night, which you can sometimes see in DC, the clouds, people. We delight in God's word, what he has said, the goodness of the gospels. On the Sabbath day, you take particular attention to read scripture, perhaps with our church community on Sunday morning or individual Bible study at home. And lastly, we delight in God's self. This is the hard one, in my opinion. Maybe you find it really easy to delight in God, but in the midst of our regular everyday, it's not easy to delight in God. We're taught to follow, we're taught to obey, maybe even to fear God. But has anyone ever told you how to delight in God, how to enjoy God? When I worked in campus ministry at NYU, it was a funny, like moment with one of the students who came to an all-campus worship night. He just said, everyone's singing these songs about loving God, about enjoying him. I don't feel like that. And it's not that he wasn't a believer, but sometimes that's true. There was something happening in his heart that was preventing him from singing God's praise, from really enjoying the goodness of who God is. And that's not a comment against him, but just an invitation to wonder and ponder what's happening there. I remember before I was a believer, I went to this Christian summer camp. I was young, I was like 9, but I was there and I was just like, why is everyone so happy? Like, what are they so happy about? And I knew that they had something that I didn't have, but I couldn't point my finger to it yet. I know that was the gospel and the goodness of who Jesus was, but there is this sense of like the joy of belonging to God is not inherent in our hearts. It's something we need to learn and put on and take on. And it's difficult. So let's think about how do we experience delight in God together. Oh, first I want to share this quote because I thought it was good. Observing the Sabbath gives us the opportunity to be as careful as we can to fill our lives with beauty and to share beauty with the world around us. As I feast upon God's goodness in all its beautiful forms, I realize more profoundly that I am a special part of his creation and designed especially for his purposes. On the Sabbath, we have this unique sense of who God has made us to be, right? Not just a God who is far off, who has things to say to us from his throne on high, but who is near and has things intends to meet you in your life every day, in the midst of whatever sorrow may be there, in the midst of whatever joy may be there. So the Sabbath, this quote is just kind of speaking to that, that it's not just a command from, hi, Ashley, but that God has things to say to you in your adopting of the Sabbath practice. So, some practical, how do I delight in God? I don't mean for this to be like, how do I, you know, contemplate? There are some practical steps we can take together. Slow down. I say this as someone who also needs this advice. Life feels like if you're not careful, it will just keep coming at you, and things will keep coming on your calendar, and it just won't stop until you break. So there is an element, we covered this extensively last time, so I won't get too much into it. I do recommend the Rule of Life podcast if you hadn't had a chance to listen to those first two episodes on stopping and resting. But there's an element of we just need to not do as much. There's a beautiful Tish Harrison Warren quote that said, what if Christians were known as people who embrace their limits with zest and even joy? So in saying no to whatever it may be, what could you be saying yes to with time with God on the Sabbath? Slow down. Which also leads into the next one, boundaries. We have to say no to insert whatever thing there in order to say yes to a day free of care. And again, I don't mean to paint the Sabbath as this magical day with you, where you conjure the presence of God to you. God is already present to you, but it's your obedience to him in leaving that space for him to do with what he will on that day. So boundaries, this could look like, again, taking off from work. I think that's huge. It could look like preparing your chores before you get to whatever your Sabbath day is so that there's no last-minute tasks that you feel like I have to get done or else they can't. And it is, even when that to-do list did not get done, it is saying no to them so that you can experience more of who God is by not doing. Boundaries are a way of protecting something good. So in adopting those in relationship to our time, it's important to think about how adopting boundaries can lead you to greater delight in God. Next, we give ourselves over to joy. For me, I keep talking about the to-do list, the task list, but I think this is really related to the boundaries thing. Sometimes when I feel like I haven't done the things I needed to do to earn a Sabbath, to earn rest, that I can't really fully give myself over to the joy of God. Who am I to sit and enjoy and maybe just like pick up my guitar and sing a little badly to a nice worship song that I'm trying to play when I didn't do what I was supposed to do for work the next day, or I didn't plan my dance classes for the week ahead? The voice of the enemy is strong in our ears, particularly as it relates to shame. But we need to speak back louder. The word of God, this is, again, the importance of being in the word, which it relates to the traditional Sabbath activities. We need to be in the word of what God has said about us, which is that we are beloved children. We remember that what's truest about us is what he believes about us. And in giving ourselves over to that joy, we silence those other voices. We engage in traditional Sabbath activities. This looks like worshiping on Sunday morning with your faith community. Us, yay. Reading scripture, enjoying nature, perhaps going on a walk, or calling a friend, as some of you guys did. I love hearing all the examples of where people are experiencing delight, because I think these totally relate to the Sabbath activities. And finally, feasting with others. Being with people. We come every Sunday to orient ourselves to this table, to the meal. And when we have people around our tables, or we go and are a guest of someone else's table, that's another way we enact the beauty of the word. So here are some practical ways of how we can open ourselves to delight in God. It really isn't magic, but it is something worth, it does take effort to place boundaries, to communicate your boundaries to other people so that you can preserve the integrity of the day, to give yourself to joy, to stop doing when you are tempted to continue, and to engage in activities that cultivate your Sabbath practice. I can't remember the name, but there's this man who said, the Sabbath is a day to pamper your soul. And I don't mean to get into the danger of like wellness culture, doing what's good for me, self-actualization. It's not that. If we look at many Christians, Rich Velotis, he's a pastor in New York, and he was very concerned about his congregation when most people said that joy was not an emotion they could readily access. If we as believers are not able to readily access joy, what hope does the world have when we have the truth, right? So we need to consider that as we contemplate our spiritual practice and the activities of our lives outside of church. Our engagement, feeding joy, feeding contentment in God and what he's done for us, a sense of enoughness in life? Or is it feeding envy, disappointment, discontentment? The Sabbath is a day to consider. And that you're not doing it alone, right? You have your faith community and also God to be very near to you in that discerning. Sabbath or Sabbish. I really liked John Mark Comer in the Practicing the Way stuff that I'm like curating for you right now. He said that someone in his congregation said their Sabbath has a tendency to become Sabbish. We talked about this last time. What's the difference between a Sabbath and a secular day off? How is it different? I guess it's just a day where I don't work. Maybe I try to stay away from chores. I think this is really important. The rhythm of Sabbath keeping is that it comes every week, every 7 days, regardless of how you feel or whether you wanted to pick up an extra shift or whatever's going on, right? Sabbath is built into the fabric of creation and it is there for us to enter into. But there is the danger that it becomes Sabbish and not very holy at all and not a day where you experience God's nearness or God's presence to you. We need to think about, with regards to the Sabbath, this question of, am I keeping the Sabbath holy or am I profaning it? I loved this quote from Joshua Heschel. He has a book called The Sabbath. He says, the Sabbaths are our great cathedrals, architecture and time. And I love that because in the ancient world, God was found in temples and creatures and specific places, but here God has blessed a day, has blessed time, and time transcendent, right? From creation to eternity. All here for us to commune with him, to experience his goodness and his holiness. As we think about what it means to enter into a holy day, a day of delight, but also of holiness, we have to consider, how is this day set apart from all the others? And that is, in a sense, individual, but also communal. You're not living your life alone. You're living it with the person next to you and with others in community. Jesus says, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There is an element of the Sabbath not being a practice that will come naturally to us. We have to work our way up into it because it's not communal anymore, or the secular world has kind of taken away that Sabbath of like a day where you like don't shop or anything. Like, we don't really have a societal framework for that anymore. So as the church, what would it look like for us to engage in this practice together and to make space for each other to experience this narrow goodness of God? In trying to make a day that doesn't look like your coworkers or your non-believing friends' day off, we are opening ourselves up to experience this uncommon goodness of God that does not look like every other day. I also like this image of the Sabbath as a way that we practice eternity, right? That we prepare, that our lives are not just about us, but that they are meant to image and reflect back to God for ourselves and for each other and for our neighbors who don't know Jesus yet. Unless one learns how to relish the taste of Sabbath while still in this world, unless one is initiated into the appreciation of eternal life, one will be unable to enjoy the taste of eternity in the world to come. The seventh day in time is an example of eternity. In the same way that that marriage can point to the goodness of God, or singleness points to the goodness of God, we look to this, our relationship to time, and realize that Sabbath is a way that we point to the goodness of who God is by the way we live our lives. Of course, the people closest to us will experience this first, but this also can stretch out into broader communities. What would it look like if Christians embraced our limits and said no for a day so that we could say yes to God, so that he could feed us and nourish us, so we could be that nourishing, feeding presence for others? We're going back to Genesis. God saw all that he has made, and it was very good. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. I have this in here again, just to highlight again the last point about God blessing the seventh day and making it holy. As we look to what God did on the Sabbath, that informs what we do on the Sabbath. It's a day to bless others. We bless the children in our worship service. Or if you have people in your home, you bless them, pray for them on your way, on their way, and you experience that again from your community. It is a day set apart from God. We look to Exodus and see. Tomorrow is a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Again, going back to that theme of Sabbath versus Sabbish, the day is not about you. John Mark Comer has something really helpful in his teaching called pleasure stacking. Again, that language of like pampering your soul, doing things that nurture your soul. So going on a walk, calling a college friend, eating a good meal, opening a bottle of wine. And again, I think these are beautiful things, but it's important to note this, that our Sabbath practice is a holy Sabbath to the Lord. We do these things so we greater enjoy who God is, rather than a sense of navel-gazing, what brings me happiness for the sake of bringing me happiness, but what brings me happiness so that I sing God's praises, so that I glorify him, and so I share the goodness of who he is with others. I just thought it was worth noting, because for me at least, as I'm engaging in this work, I feel that, what is the line between self-indulgence and doing these things because I like them? Is this making me into a person of love? Or is this oriented towards God, making me into a person of love that I want to share and I want to tell people about it? So that's just something I'm internally processing as I am into this work. Lastly, I want to include, before we go into our discussion, because again, I really didn't mean to lecture at you. I wanted to have this discussion groups. I just wanted to give enough context for those. I really love this quote by Dan Allender, again, like talking about the practices, the Sabbath practices training us for eternity, right? For me, it's so tempting for the everyday life to feel disenchanted, and that's something that many in our world also experience, and then they're looking to like rocks and crystals to like enchant the world for them. So I think the Sabbath practice is one way we can re-engage this beauty. He says, "For 6 days, I wrestle with a world under the toil of the curse, soiled by the oil of humanity's commerce, deeply longing for the bright wings of the coming dawn. And each day at best is a repletion of the day before, unless the next day is Sabbath. It is the queen of all days, the day in which division, destitution, and death are put aside to celebrate our union with God, the abundance of his love, and the wild hope of the coming kingdom."